I'm holding this microphone. It might not be necessary, but maybe it will help. Is it helpful in the back?
Yes.
Since I'm going to be talking all morning, it's just easier for me. I won't have to project as much. Okay, well, welcome once again. It's a great delight to be here. In fact, one of the main reasons for my trip to the United States this time, well, first I gave a talk about the Anawim community in upstate New York about a few weeks ago, then we had our community retreat, and then this. So this morning is one of the reasons why I'm here, and I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be with my brother priest, my brother Anawim priest. You might not know this, but all the priests of the Anawim community are here today. So in the whole world, so, we're really happy to be together. So as I said at the beginning, this, since it's the Holy Mass, this is really the highlight of the morning. And maybe, I don't know if anyone came here just to go to Mass. Probably you're all here to attend the Who and What is the Anawim Community event. But so we can look at this as the first part of a two-part morning, but this is really the heart of what we do is liturgy. So thanks be to God we're here for this. And today happens to be a big feast day in the church, feast of an apostle and evangelist, Saint Matthew. So let's reflect a little bit on St. Matthew. I'm naturally going to reflect on him in light of the Anawim spirituality, the Anawim call, because that's why we're here this morning. But I'm not forcing it. I mean, the guy is Anawim. he's an unlikely candidate to be called St. Matthew. Matthew, who everyone knows is a tax collector, but in the Gospels, he's the only one who identifies himself as Matthew the tax collector. Do you know that? The other Gospels, in the list of the 12, always put the name of Matthew. But when they tell the story about the call of the tax collector, they call him Levi, as if they want to make some distinction between tax collectors and apostles. But Matthew himself, both in this story, which he wrote, they wrote about what happened when Jesus called him, and in his list of the 12, identifies himself as Matthew the tax collector. Well, the story of Matthew actually doesn't start with Matthew, it starts with Jesus. That's all of our stories start with Jesus too. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the customs post. Jesus saw Matthew, just as he sees us. It apparently didn't matter what Matthew was doing. Here he was working at his scandalous work as a tax collector, but God decides when he's going to approach us on his own time. I love the expression that Bishop Barron uses for this kind of a thing. He calls it the invasion of grace. You ever heard of that? The invasion of grace. Like, you know, it wasn't as if Matthew was looking around for someone to call him. He was probably thinking about money or thinking about his job or maybe think about getting a time off to relax or whatever. He was not probably, we don't know. We don't know because Matthew doesn't say anything about himself or his inner disposition. What we do know is that he experienced this invasion of grace. God in Jesus Christ just came up to him and said, follow me. It's something like the story in the call of Peter when Jesus gets into his boat. You know that story? Before the miraculous catch of fish, Jesus got into Peter's boat. Peter didn't say, hey, come on into my boat. Jesus just got into his boat, invasion of grace. And I love that detail, first of all, because it's at the heart of this story, but also it's the heart of our story. Sometimes we experience a longing for God, a search for God. We pray, we might pray for a long time. We're opening ourselves to God. And we might think we're the ones starting the process. And even when we read in the lives of the saints, sometimes the saints are really searching, they're looking, they're reading, they're studying. St. Augustine is a great example. He was trying to figure out, you know, what's the truth here. But that is never the first step. The first step is always God and his grace, the invasion of grace. Where does that idea that I should search come from? Where did Augustine get that restless heart from? He got it from the invasion of grace. also from the intercession of his mother. But she was an agent of the invasion of grace. This is true of all of us all the time. So I don't know why you're here. I don't know your journey. But I'm sure you wouldn't be here if you hadn't experienced some kind of invasion of grace. You wouldn't be here unless God had given you the idea that maybe you could come. I mean, after all, it's a beautiful Saturday morning. What are you doing here? You know, there's a lot of other things you could do. Well, no, God has an idea for us, and he's the one who starts the process. Whatever we might be doing, and if you think about your own journey, you know that sometimes God acts or speaks or reveals his will at really weird times. Middle of the night, when you're driving to work, maybe when you're in prayer, maybe not. I mean, we would like to say, oh, this is the time when God's going to speak to me, when I'm praying my rosary, when I'm reading my scriptures, when I'm praying at adoration or something. And sometimes he does. Sometimes he doesn't, at least not in our experience. He can talk to us when we're at work or we get a phone call or someone just makes a casual comment and we realize something, and that's grace at work. So that I think is what happened to Matthew. I mean, he was at work. Nobody thought very highly of him, for sure. Maybe among the tax collectors, maybe he was popular, but I mean, in the culture, a tax collector was a scandalous traitor to the Jewish community. Along comes Jesus. He sees him and he says, follow me. That's the whole story. No, that's not the whole story. He got up and followed him. That's the whole story. Invasion of grace, a call, a response. That's it. Now, and Matthew seems very deliberate about leaving it in its barest form. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. He saw me. He called me. I followed him. Now, and that's true of all of us. That's how it works. Of course, there's more to it when you flesh out the details, tell the story. And everybody's story is unique. How God enters into our life and how he calls us. We spend a lot of time in Anuam reflecting on being called because it's part of our experience of being in the community. But that's true of everybody. That moment of conversion or moment of being called, vocation, is a turning point. But it's not as if the process is completed. Matthew, and he very deliberately puts it this way, he got up and followed him. I mean, he got up from his lowly position of worldly preoccupation and got up. He rose up. In fact, it says in the original language, he rose up like a resurrection, and he followed him. And that continued for the rest of his life. We honor Matthew in the liturgy as, it doesn't say Matthew the tax collector, it says Matthew, apostle and evangelist. Apostle and evangelist. That's what he did. That's what following Jesus meant for him. Living out what God had in mind for him. And he did it faithfully for the rest of his life until his martyrdom. The rest of this gospel story tells how Matthew is already beginning to evangelize. He starts with his own friends, the tax collectors and sinners. While he was at table, in this is in Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat with Jesus and his disciples. They sat with Matthew. That's not news that the tax collectors got together with Matthew. They probably did it every weekend. But here it says, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat with Jesus and his disciples. That's the scandal. And the Pharisees see it and say, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? That's obviously a bad thing to do. In fact, a couple of days ago, that was launched at Jesus as an insult. He eats with tax collectors and sinners. Like, he must be really stupid or really bad or really ignorant of the law or something wrong with him. You don't eat with tax collectors and sinners. But Jesus does. He doesn't take it as an insult. He says, no, that's true. That's what I do. That's what I do. That's part of why I'm here. And in Anuim, since we're the poor, that's what Anuim means, we're the lowly ones, we're the tax collectors and sinners who are called. We're very happy that Jesus sits around with tax collectors and sinners. In fact, he's doing it right now. Right? And that's when we come together for a Mass. Who comes to the Mass? Sinners? Yeah, sinners. I don't think there's anyone in here who's not a sinner. Okay. Jesus says, okay, those who are well don't need a physician. The sick do. Earlier this morning, I had a little lightheadedness, and I happened to mention it to someone who happened to mention it to someone who happened to mention it. Someone told Dr. Ken just a few minutes ago. He came asking, how am I doing? Which is very beautiful. I'm glad. But if he didn't think I was sick, he wouldn't have come into my room and said, how are you doing? I mean, if people are well, they don't need a physician. He was moved because he heard there's someone who's sick. Well, that's right. That's just normal. That's what Jesus does. Why does he come to us? Because we're sick. Because we need him. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. So that's true of every vocation. It's true of every one of us. It's true of the Anuim community. What we do here is we rejoice that God comes for sinners and that he has come for us. He loves us. He calls us. I won't go on because we have the rest of the morning to address these things, but I'll just say, I just want to pick out one verse from today's first reading, chosen for the Feast of St. Matthew. It's at the very beginning. Paul pleads with the Ephesians. He says, I plead with you as a prisoner for the Lord. I urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received. It's one thing to be called. It's another thing to live in a manner worthy of the call. That's our part. With God's grace. God starts it all, invasion of grace. We respond, but we can't do it in a worthy way without God's help. And this is what Paul says. I urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received, with all humility and gentleness, patience, bearing, and then a whole list of how it's done in the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's also true of the Anuim call. Those who experience a call to the Anuim way are urged to live in a manner worthy of that call. We all fail, but we're not discouraged because it depends on God. We're cooperating, participating in the great mission of God. And that's what we learn from St. Matthew. That's what we learn from all the saints and from everybody who's faithful to God. And that's what we hope will be part of the grace of this morning.